The foundation learning is our feet. And without imagination, learning has no wings. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Bill Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. The foundation learning is our feet. Well, let's see what that might mean. We have feet, and we can say we have feet as a symbol, but well, what do feet usually mean? If you don't put feet under something, nothing happens. If you have an idea and you don't put any activity under it, and if you don't carry it forward, if you don't bring it forward, then what happens is that nothing takes place. So when you put feet under an idea or under a plan or under a program, that means you are starting to carry it out. Now, everything that you start to carry out or everything that you think about carrying out isn't necessarily something that's worthy of carrying out. So what you do is you take your concept, the foundation of your learning, and you keep it private to yourself. Now, why would you keep it private to yourself? You think, my goodness, if I can involve other people in this, it would work so beautifully. Mariella's husband, Massimo, has an office filled with a dozen people, and each one of the people has a partner or two. And they take ideas, and they think tank the ideas, sort of putting them up, putting them down, doing all sorts of things with them to try to figure out what they mean. They put feet under their ideas, and they walk them back and forth between them. And sometimes the ideas are rather remarkable. Other times the ideas are not worthy of carrying out because they look good on the surface. In the beginning, it looked just so wonderful. But then when you began to think about the ramifications of it, you realize that it was not something that had some viability to it. All of our ideas are great. All of the concepts that come to our mind are great. Sometimes they're just an exercise in an idea. And other times, they are an idea whose time has come. My son working with his engine, it does appear that that's an idea whose time has come, because that engine is quite remarkable and does quite remarkable things, and many people are interested in investing in it. And I think anybody who is allowed to invest in it is going to become like Microsoft. In the beginning, it was nothing at all, and as it developed, it made millionaires out of everybody who were the early investors in it. And that's kind of a nice thing to do. There are many projects in the world today. The nanotubes that are being developed in Japan and China and Korea are something that are so spectacular that they are going to be the foundation for the chips of not the future, the chips of later this year. And they have such a compactness about them that they are going to make the batteries on the portable TVs, on the portable PCs, the portable computers, run maybe 10 times longer. So if the batteries run 4 hours now, they'd be 40 hours, which is outstanding. Just imagine what that would do for our space activity. If they could increase the battery power and reduce the weight, wow, what great things could be done, because weight is a tremendous activity or feature of working in space. So, ideas come to us, and we put feet under them, but we try to hold those ideas very close. There was a young man who was a great thinker and a great producer of ideas, and he left home. He went to England, he sequestered himself away with another fellow, and the two of them brainstormed ideas until they came up with some ideas that are outstandingly beautiful. They're written up in Popular Mechanics, they're written up in Discovery Magazine, and they're written up in a few other magazines. But they're really amazing men, because everyone said, why is this person closing himself away from life? Well, He's closing himself away from life because he is now doing something different than everybody else expected him to do. He is looking at a different type of project that he has never looked at before. And everyone will say to him, oh, what are you looking at something like that for? You've already proven your skill in these other areas. You can ride on your own glory. You don't have to come up with something. But the idea is there. The idea is there. It has to be born. And therefore, I cannot go to you. And you say to me, but you're so famous already. Why bother? You know, it's not famous. Bill Gates is not the richest man in the world. He is the richest man in the world because he can take any idea that he has in his mind and put it to work, develop it, and not tell anybody unless he wants to. And you see, he's the boss, so he can do that. And he does it. And he comes up with some outstandingly stupid ideas, which with a little bit of a push here and a little bit of a push there from his men who know the details on doing these things, they make it into a piece of magic. People laughed at him for wearing a wristwatch. That wristwatch was what was a little computer. And he was able to read the stock market report and all these other things. He doesn't give a damn about that. He doesn't care about it. But he says, see here, he knew it. He knew that watch inside and out because he's a genius. And as he did that, he was telling people about it. And everybody, I want one. And why do they want one? They don't need it. They have absolutely no need to know what stock market is or what this is or what that is. Their minds are on something totally different, but they need that because that's the latest technology. Now, a later technology will come up later this year on that very same thing, miniaturizing it until it's just a flat crystal laying on your wrist, which you can see as a screen, and in some sub-miniature casing underneath it will be all the details, all the facts of it. It's so fantastic, really. It's so fantastic. Just a few years ago, when we wanted to have 50, 100, or however many megabytes on a computer hard drive, that made a big old box. Now, they have gigabytes and trigabytes on little tiny boxes that you can put in your pocket. And you can carry it around with you, and that can be your supply of material. Now, you see, when you put feet under your ideas, then the imagination that the idea has can take flight. The imagination can get going, but you have to think it slowly to all the details yourself. Because if you don't think it slowly to all the details for yourself, some well-meaning person is going to come along and say, we don't need that. That's not very important. Shut up. This is my baby. This is my dream. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what's in my mind, in my heart. And you're telling me that nobody's interested in it? Don't do that. When a mother sees a child drawing a picture and she says, what is that crap you're working on? That's the most terrible thing in the world. Instead, the mother says, well, we have a future Michelangelo here. For goodness sakes, that's beautiful. Could you like to describe it to me? I don't understand all the nuances of it. Tell me. Nuances for a little kid, you know. I don't understand all the little details of it. Tell me. And so the kid says, well, right here, this is you, Mommy, and over here is Daddy, and in between, this big one is me. And both of you are so wanting to take care of me that you want me to be bigger and bigger and bigger so each one you can take care of more. And the mommy says, ooh, hey, that's cool. He's thinking. And of course, it's totally illogical, totally unreasonable. But is it? Is his consciousness growing so beautifully and so vastly that one parent can have this boy who is this type of thinker, like the sports for the daddy or whatever, and over here the literature for the mommy or whatever, and he can be all things for all people because he's a brilliant genius. And the mother and father expect that of him. They draw that out of him. There was a story of a couple who wanted to raise a genius child. And so as the child was in the womb, the mother would listen to classical music. And every day, she would take one of the classical books and read it to the child, herself and the child. And every day she would read the encyclopedia. She would read great books. She would read what people are doing and coming up with in the universe of technology and stuff like that. I haven't heard how the child turned out, but I can quite imagine it's a super kid. It would have to be a super kid if for no other reason that it has super parents. And these parents are going to encourage every little glimmer that that child has of magnificence. And they're going to bring that out of them. Now, every parent can do this. And we can do this of ourselves right now, even though we are 300 years old, you know. It doesn't make any difference. We're never too old to put a new drawing card in our playing game, you know. Never. It's wonderful. It's so fantastic. But we can do it. We can do it. We can have the greatest time of our life by just flowing with our imagination. And our imagination will take flight and bring us great ideas. I told you one time as Mark and I were driving back from L.A., coming down to the mountain in San Diego here, and we were talking about batteries. And he was asking me about batteries and asking about batteries. Well, I was drifting in and out of sleep, you know, and I was describing this battery to him, and I was describing all the details of how it could be made and how it could be. And he was taking notes mentally on all these things. He had all the ideas. And then I fell asleep. Just as I should have given him the last keys, you know. And he said, "Dad, wake up, come on, what's next, what's next?" But, you see, what's next is him. What's next is him. If I give you one corner of the triangle and you cannot find the other two, then you don't deserve to have the triangle. But one corner of the triangle will always tell you what the other two are. You understand that? How?
It's a measure.
How many degrees are in a triangle?
90 under 20, depends.
I wouldn't say that it depends, because the triangle, must have three sides. Now, yes, you can get one side almost vertically parallel with the other, mm-hmm, but that still means that these two have to be out here, and that's going to be very fine. This could be the almost 180, but then you add the other to it, and then you have it. Now, why can't a triangle be 90 degrees? Or why can't a triangle be 360 degrees? Because that's another type of a form. That's another type of a form.
It cannot be. Yeah, that's right.
I say, why can it not be?
Yeah.
Because that's another type of a form. And so if you challenge somebody with this information, this triangle is has 160 degrees to it. You know, what are the other two angles? Well, the other two angles could be anywhere from 10 and 10 or 15 and 5 or whatever, you see. Mm-hmm. And you have a pretty obvious control of it, but it's interesting. Now, this is imagination put to work. This is why Confucius has said this, that he would not teach a person who, if he gave one angle of a triangle, he couldn't figure out the rest. And this is, if your mind is not facile enough and excited enough and interested enough in carrying out the little you have, you'll never find the amount you'd like to have. This is just the plain art and skill of education. And this is the imagination that sets wings to your mind. Because when you begin to think, let's see, okay, now, what type of substances are there that we could make that are going to make a tiny robot, a tiny atom? You know, they have robots that go into your bloodstream. They walk around your bloodstream. And they take pictures with cameras. Cameras and a little robot in your bloodstream. It's unbelievable that it's so microscopic, you know. But it's true. So But who thought of that first? And who had to measure the diameter of the veins and arteries, not to say the capillaries. The capillaries vary in size greatly and in some minuscule way. But who's going to do this? Now, how are they going to go look around inside the lung and see what's going on in there? How can they tell what's going on in people's lungs? Oh, they could cut you open and look at it and say, my. Sew it back up again and say that's what it is. But to see it actually moving and living with some camera, like they do in a colonoscopy, you know, it's utterly amazing. Utterly amazing. But that, of course, stimulated them to do the micro-miniature work in the bloodstream. But this is imagination. This is ideas. Ideas that anyone in their right mind would say, forget it. You know, not in a million years you're going to come up with something like that. Who would ever think that a computer would be able to be, that man would worry that the computer might outthink him? The computer can, for the moment, come to conclusions more quickly than man has the capacity to come to conclusions, but only because man does not believe he has the capacity to come to conclusions that quickly. You take this, the savant, you take the autistic child, and the autistic child can come up with fabulous answers for fabulous questions, and correctly. And in just a moment, a little bit longer than a computer would take, but in a moment. Now, how does he do that? How do the neurons and the axons of the brain and the nervous system all fit together to bring about all this fantastic awareness? It's there. It's there. Do we know how to probe it? And do we know how to touch it? Well, pretty soon, we will stop chasing it. And we'll start listening within, and the answer will be there. The answer will be, whatever question you have in your mind, the answer is in you. Whatever dream you have for yourself, its conclusion is in you. Whatever is exciting and fun in life, its response is in you, if you want it. But if you ever, ever, ever say, I can't do it, you ever say, I don't know how, or you ever say, my God, this is beyond the mind of man, well, you're not the one who's going to play the game. Somebody else is going to play the game and come along with the exquisite devices that they have today, which are beyond the imagination of the greatest scientists in the 60s. The greatest scientists of the 50s, the 40s, my goodness sakes. When Hitler was creating this bomb, this, what do you call it, the bomb that they would shoot over to England, you know, my goodness, that was thought to be the ultimate of technology. And you heard of heavy water, and heavy water is used for making explosives of various kinds. And this, where did it come from? It comes from Norway. Now, how does heavy water come from Norway? And why does it come from Norway? Why doesn't it come from other ways? Because people haven't chose to look at it yet. Now, was Iraq sitting on a pool of oil that has infinite capacity back in the days of the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 30s? Sure. Was Nigeria sitting on a bed of oil back in the days of the 20s and 30s? Sure. Well, why didn't they utilize it? They had nobody with the creative imagination to carry it out. And when somebody comes along with a creative imagination to carry it out, then they, oh, wait, that's expensive. We don't, yeah, boo. But look what you get back. You may have to make an investment in your enthusiasm, in your joy, in your imagination, in your creativity to bring back the results that come back. And it is amazing. We say, why spend so much money on sending spaceships to Mars and Moon and things like that? Well, those spaceships opened up avenues of creativity in our scientists that had not been seen before. The Russians had never done anything so spectacular as that, and they became excited, and they didn't have the technology, they didn't have anything, but they had it shortly, because when the dream is there, the way of fulfilling it is there. When the student is ready, the teacher is there. Now, the same thing is going on over in Korea, in Taiwan, in Taipei, in the Philippines, in all the Far East countries over there. It's beautiful. These people are coming up with imaginative ideas. Do you know that there are, along the Yellow River and inland from Hong Kong and so forth, at least a dozen major Chinese cities that are outproducing the world in certain production, in certain cameras and tape recorders and disc players and televisions and computers, all that stuff. It's in the current copy of Business Week magazine. But it's utterly amazing. Now, that backward country that did nothing, well, you see, it's not backward. It's just that they didn't have the opportunity to practice it. And when somebody came along and said, this is what we're going to do, the minds of all these people that were just bursting to be expressing themselves doing it came out. Fantastic, isn't it? But you see, this is what we want to put feet under our ideas and our dreams. We want to have wings under our imagination. But unless we can really be at peace within ourselves, we will have one little failure that'll destroy us absolutely. It's beyond me. I can't do it. If you ever say anything like that, it is beyond you, and you can't do it. And the world will just find a new person to bring it forth, in perhaps just a little different way. But the idea will be the same. You guys have a great day, and let your imagination play. And when you do, I'll come along and stay. I love you. Have a great day. I love you.
Love you.
I love you. I love you.